Parsha B'Shalach has many, many themes to it. One of the major themes in the Parsha, right after Kriyas Yamsuf, is the falling of the man. We've spoken about this in the years past. I want to focus in on a number of psukim, which really deals with not so much the man at that time, but the man with a future vision for our generations, for the coming generations. So we have in Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Moshe said, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded. A full omer of it shall be a safekeeping for your generations, so they shall see the food with which I fed you in the wilderness when I took you out of Egypt. Next Pasuk, Moshe said to Aaron, take one jar and put a full omer of manna into it, place it before Hashem for a safekeeping for your generations. And then, as Hashem had commanded Moshe, Aaron placed it before the Ark of Testimony for a safekeeping. And then the Chumash tells us that the children of Israel ate the manna for 40 years until they came into Eretz Yisrael, and the Omer is a tenth of an ephah. So it's very fascinating that we have three psukim, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, and Lamed Daled, which are teaching us one and the same idea, that it's Tzinsenet Haman, that a jar of man was kept by the Aron HaEtos, by the Ark of Testimony, for safekeeping. It would have been sufficient to say all this in one pasuk. And obviously, all of these repetitions raise a tremendous amount of questions. Just to take a look at some of the technical questions that the Or Chaim HaKadosh raises in Source 3a, Sarich Ladat Omro Zeh HaDavar. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded? This is the thing, Zeh, is something you point to. Why do you not simply say, this is what Hashem has commanded? What does Zeh HaDavar mean? We also need to determine, says the Yerach Chaim HaKadosh, to whom Moshe instructed this command. Who among the Jewish people is supposed to put away the Omer of Manna for safekeeping? If you take a look at Pasuk Lamed Beis, this is the thing Hashem said. A full Omer of it shall be safekeeping for your generation. It doesn't say who should take it. Only in the next Pasuk, Moshe said to Aaron, take one jar and put a full Omer of Manna into it. Well, why not? Why wasn't that just in the previous Pasuk, as we said, to condense it? Furthermore, that these psukim seem to repeat itself, why do we need to know that? And then we just take a look at the psukim themselves. Pasuk Lamed Daled, as Hashem had commanded Moshe, Aaron placed it before the Ark of Testimony for safekeeping. That's a very odd way of saying it. It's usually throughout the Chumash, first says what was done, Kasher Tziva, as Hashem had commanded. Why is that Hashem commanded Moshe first? How did Moshe Rabbeinu know to give it to Aaron? Hashem just says, this is the thing that Hashem commanded. Then Moshe said to Aaron, you're the one who should do it. Well, how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that it was Aaron that was the one who was supposed to do it? Further, let's just get a chronological perspective here. We're dealing here before Mamet Har Sinai. Aaron was not yet chosen to be the Kohen. Levim, you weren't yet really chosen until Chet HaEgel. Aaron HaEtos wasn't even, there was no even Aaron HaEtos. There was no even tent of, and there was no Aaron HaKodesh. There was nothing, right? This is before the Mishkan is being built. So obviously these psukim are describing what will happen, and yet it was commanded right away. Like, put it away now, so that when the Aaron will be found, will be erected, then you'll be able to put away for safekeeping, which is the Osnai Latarus question, source number 2. Why couldn't you just wait till the 40th year, right before the manna is going to stop, which was when Klai Yisrael were entering into Eretz Yisrael, right before then, take a little bit of manna and put it away for safekeeping? Why was it necessary to take it away right away? So if we could just try to focus our questions to try to understand a little bit of the technical repetition of the psukim, that's going to be one focus, not our major. Understand why it was taken right away and not later on. Perhaps our focus question is going to be, what was the necessity of putting away the man? The man that is put away is obviously a mark of some sort for generations. And it's very fascinating because it's put away by the in the Kodesh Kedoshim, that no one can even enter there. So, like, what's its purpose? What's its use? What was its role? And the other question which we're going to focus in on is why specifically Aaron? Why wouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu take Moshe? The man was in his chus. Why wasn't he the one who took the man? Why was it specifically Moshe said to Aaron, you should take it? Aaron placed it before the Ark of Testimony. It's very much focused in on Aaron a Kohen, and the question is, what do we learn from this? And obviously, the message is for our lives. So I'd like to begin, before we look at the three levels that we're going to see today, I'd like to begin just learning the Aruch Haim HaKadoshim Tzad, just to get a sense, a little bit of a textual understanding, and then we'll come back at the end of the Shir to try to understand this on a little bit of a different level. The Aruch Haim offers an approach that resolves this question. He says, I'm in source 3b, Ki kavanat Moshe hi al zeh haderech. Moshe's intent was along these lines. Zeh hadavar shir tziva, this is what Hashem commanded. He told the people, quote, Hashem commanded me, telling you a full omer of it shall be a safekeeping, etc. But Hashem did not tell him, well, how was that going to take place? Who was going to take it? Where was it going to be as a safekeeping? That Hashem didn't say. That is why, Zeh hadavar, this is what Hashem said. It was clearly telling the people what Hashem said. Then, Shafarim 3c, B'tzedek da'at chacham. With the wisdom of a wise person, Moshe accurately determined what Hashem meant. When Hashem says it should be a mishmeret, which is the safekeeping, which is repeated over and over again, Moshe Rabbeinu understood, well, what do we have to keep it safe from? We have to keep it safe from theft. Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, we have to keep it safe from tumah. So therefore, he deduced that the best place to keep it is in the Mishkan. That's a place that people aren't allowed to enter if they're tameh. We have to put it in a vessel that does not get tumah if you touch the outside of it, which is an earthenware vessel. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu deduced that this is exactly what should be how it should be taken, where it should be placed. And since he understood that Aaron was going to be Ki Aaron Yen Yviyecha, Aaron was going to be the one who's going to have, not only to be his spokesman, but he was the one who's going to carry the Urim V'Tumim on his breastplate, right? V'rachav v'samach b'libo. He was the one who told Aaron, you are responsible to do this. So according to this, this was what Moshe Rabbeinu understood from what Hashem had said. The other way of looking at this is no. That this indeed, source 5, where perhaps the Torah means as follows. When Moshe initially received the prophecy from Hashem, he immediately presented Jewish people exactly and heard it from God Most High. Zeh hadavar, quote, Vayachaser yediyah, but he didn't have all the details. Who's going to do it? Where is it going to be done? V'chule. V'lo yedam ma lasot. And then Hashem came, ad sheba hanevuah pam shnia. Then a prophecy came to him again to tell him exactly how to take it, where to take it, who to take it. And that's why it says at the end, Kasher Tziva Hashem El Moshe. As Hashem had commanded Moshe, Aaron placed it for the ark. So you shouldn't think that was just coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. No. As Hashem commanded, this is exactly what Aaron did and followed suit. In both ways, whether we say that Moshe Rabbeinu understood this, the understanding of a chacham, or that this is exactly what Hashem told him to do, it is clear that the tzimtzenen haman, this jug of man, was meant to be put in the olmoed, in the tent of testimony by the Aron, in order to be a mishmeret, shamor, safekeeping, guarded for Klal Yisrael. And the question becomes, for what? If we're not even going to see it, what's its point? And obviously, and this is Rabelsky going back to the first page in source number 6, what is startling about the man is that we're meant to relate to this experience and pattern our lives after those who ate it. That's what it means. Zeh hadavar shertziva Hashem. This is the matter that Hashem had commanded us. This is the matter that it's lifnei ha'edut lemishmeret. It is a safekeeping for generations, l'dorosechem, means that we have to learn the message of the man. Whether we actually see this senate, we see this jug, or we don't. We have to be able to have the experience of the man and the lessons of the man clearly in front of us. And we know, as Rashi brings down, this man was indeed used in Jewish history. Rashi writes, when Yirmiyah rebuked the people asking why they were not involved in Torah, the people would say, if we set aside our work and involve ourselves in Torah, from where shall we receive our livelihood? He took the jar of man out for them. He said to them, see for yourselves the word of Hashem. It is not written here, but rather see. In this manner your forefathers were sustained. Hashem has many messengers, many ways to arrange the sustenance of those who fear him. In this way, the man served as a mishmeret l'dor seichem, a keepsake for your generations. This leads us, my friends, to the first of the three levels. The message of the man, the message that Yirmiyah HaNavi gave his generation, which is a message that echoes throughout all generations, is people say, how can I possibly spend time learning Torah? How can I spend part of my day, or whatever amount it is, those of who are spending almost their entire day sitting and learning Torah, from where will Parnassa come? If I spend time learning the Kolo lifestyle, who's going to support me? And that is the first approach. The first level is that the man was put by the Aron HaEdos, was put by the Luchos, put by the Torah, to teach us that those who upkeep the Torah, Hashem is going to provide for them like Hashem provided for the people and the man. And this explains, says Rabbeinu Bechaye in source number 7, Kimashit tziva b'zeh la'aron, sheba lermoz ki ha-kohanim ha-levim, morei ha-torah sh'atidim latzei ma'aron yu, mizrotam b'harachava v'lo ba'amel k'ochle ha-man. This is why specifically Aaron. Aaron is not just the individual Aaron HaKohen. Rather, Aaron HaKohen represents the whole Kahuna Levia, represents the whole tribe of Levi, who indeed did not have a specific portion in the land, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Hu Nachlaso. Their job was Yoram Shmasech Yisrael. Their job was to teach Torah, and as a result of teaching Torah, they were supported by Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu supported them. And this is the message that we need to understand. Those who dedicate themselves to Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be able to, this is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be their supporters. And that is the way we understand the end of Pasuk Lamedalit. As Hashem had commanded Moshe, we ask, shouldn't that be after what Aaron did it? He did, as Hashem commanded Moshe. No, as Hashem commanded Moshe, has nothing to do with Aaron did. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Aval be'er ki mazon ba'alei ha-Torah shamur munach lifnei Hashem, kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, sha'amar lo psolacha sheyeh psolat shalom. As Hashem had commanded Moshe later on, by Har Sinai, where Hashem said, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to gain from the psolet, from that which was left over from hewing the tablets, and that made Moshe Rabbeinu very rich. As Hashem had commanded Moshe at Har Sinai, Hashem told Moshe, this is how you're going to be rich. And that's a bing and av, that's a paradigm for all those who are involved in Torah, is their amunasam, is their livelihood. And this, Rav Dov Yofen, and Lav Decha Be'emes, points out, Nimsami Divrei Chazal in the Arrow of 9, Shekhar Baruch Hu Bikesh Lameid and Am Yisrael Doratav, the message for all generation is that he will provide for those who are involved in learning Torah, Harbe Shluchim Lamakom. And the Malbim adds, Shamadat Simsenet Man Lemishmer Ladoro Ba Laharot, Shinyan Haman Lohaya Noheg Pamibar Bavat. Keeping this little jug, this flask of man, is to show you that it wasn't only for that generation. Elohua Inyan Kayam Vinoheg Ladorot. It's something that transpires over all generations. Shekol Mishim Zorvi Yafrish Atzvo Minyanei Ha'olam Elotara Vavodah. Those who leave the worldly pursuit and dedicate themselves to Torah, Hashem is going to make, to give them his portion. And this is what the Rambam speaks about, that there are those who choose to be part of Shevet Levi. There are those who choose to have this as their lifestyle. Indeed, Rafelski points out in source number 8, When it cannot be physically shown to them, Klai Yisrael is supposed to look towards the man to serve as the Mishmeret in every single generation. The experience of the man was to define Klai Yisrael as the people of the Torah. And indeed, the Torah was given only to the Ochlei Haman. The imagery that Rav Huttner gives is a very fascinating imagery. He says, those who want, this is source 10, to have food, they have two main options how you get it. One is you daven for it, and the other is you become part of the king's army. If you become part of the king's army, Legiono Shel Melech, then the king has to provide for the people in his army, right? The king gives the provisions for the people in his army. So those who are not directly in the army of the king have to beseech the king, please give me my mazonos, please give me my food. Those who are in the army of the king, those who are going to be sitting and studying and learning all day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu this is the promise that he will provide for them. Notes the Meshech Chochma Chiddush Gamor on the next page in source number 12. The pasuk speaks about how when the Jews left Egypt, Beotzio Tam Eretz Yisrael, the man was given with which I led you in the wilderness when I took you out of Egypt. Well, obviously we know that. That phrase is extra. So it's the Meshech Chochma to teach you that even if you haven't reached it yet, you're still in the process of just leaving Egypt, going towards the learning of the Torah. This is your goal. This is your mindset. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to provide for you, but completely. This is the level of those who are learning Torah, those who dedicate their lives to Torah. The man is that keepsake, is that mishmeret, is that mindset that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide, and you become part of the Legiono Shel Melech, the army of the king. To which Rav Kram adds, in Metamudo B'yado, this explains a little bit on a conceptual level. Why did they take the man right away? Why didn't they wait till you're 40? So he says very clearly, he says, Mistaber shegami mayu osim zo biyom acharon liyudat haman, lo eita pulazu mitbatza botam rikshe kodesh kamo ata. After 40 years, right, we hear them complaining already in the desert, another day of man, right, they're tired of it. They lost that passion towards the man. So had they taken the man on year 40, okay, so we'll take some man, we'll put it in a jug, and we'll put it away in the base, in the Aron. Okay. But when it first fell, there was this excitement. There's this passion. There's this, wow, what is this, right? The psukim right before ours. They called it manna. They weren't quite sure what it was like. There was this passion, enthusiasm. Because of this, it was specifically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klai Yisrael to specifically take it at that moment, in order not only to teach about the man, but to teach about this lesson of those who are going to learn Torah, who will be supported in the way of the man. This is conceptually teaching those people that the learning of Torah has to be kiklal o revet ha-shigra b'chol eit l'fatcho shel adam. The shigra, the routine, breaks a person from their passion. The end of 14, v'largish ki divrei Torah, yu beinenu ki b'chol yom kechadoshim. This is how we have to look at Torah as well. Not, oh no, same old. No, I've never seen this before. It's new. It's exciting. A mitzvah as if I've never seen it before. With passion. You know, it's like, take a look at the mitzvah pidyon haben. So most families only make, you know, one pidyon haben, if at all, in their lifetimes. You could be making more than one, but we're not getting into the halachic details of that. I remember somebody once telling me a story of how they were on their second marriage. And they had a boy, right? The firstborn from the mother. And they wrote a note to their daughter's first grade teacher, please excuse my daughter for her brother's pidyon haben, right? And I'm sure the teacher's like, huh? How does that one work? But, okay, it can work. But usually most people make one pidyon haben in their lifetime, if at all. How do we decorate the little boy who's put on that tray? Everyone takes off all their gold and their silver, and they're you know, this is, whoa, so much excitement. Why? It's hitachos, it's renewal. It's the first child. That brings excitement and renewal. It's dedication. It's all of what we're about. It's like the Bikurim were decorated. That feeling of Hitachos, that feeling of renewal, that's really what it has to be with every single mitzvah we do. And that's the feeling the first time when the man fell. Wow. Grab it. Hold it. Keep it. So it's not just that the man is a safekeeping. It's the man at the inception. It's a safekeeping. It's the man with the excitement. It's the man with the understanding of how we are so connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, how he takes care of us, how he nurtures us. That's the man that has to be the mindset for those who are dedicating themselves to Torah. That Torah learning has to be this way, with the knowledge of that newness and freshness. That's idea one. Let's focus more on level two and three, which I think it's more relevant for most of our lives. The first level, Aaron and Kohen, they're the teachers, they're the leaders, they're the ones who are sitting and learning. The Aaron is the place of where the Torah is. This is why it was kept there as a model for those who want to learn. They become Legion Shel Melech, Hashem will provide. The second aspect of what the man taught us, and we'll see why it was specifically Aaron HaKohen in a few minutes, Emir Tashem, is the idea of learning about the dynamics of the man for our lives and for those who go out and work and make a parnasa. So first and foremost, source 13, Rabbeinu Bechaya introduces additional insight from this pasuk. The man was placed right next to the Sefer Torah to symbolize that when a person chooses a profession with which to support himself and his family, it should be preferably one that will keep him close to Torah. Because there are many dangers, there are many challenges, and you have to, you know, make sure that it's by the Torah. It's not compromising your sense of sneis, your sense of Torah lifestyle and Torah integrity. Enei Yisrael takes another step. One of the primary messages in 15 of the man is bitachon, the trust and confidence that a person has that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will care for his needs. Each morning, Bnei Yisrael will go out to seek their livelihood for the day, taking their pots and vessels out of the encampment, collecting the man that had fallen during the small hours of the morning. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have caused the man to fall at the entrance of the tent of every family, as he did indeed for the very great tzaddikim. Instead, Hashem caused the man to fall only outside the encampment, an area of 12 square mil, roughly 12 square kilometers. This means that most of the Jews were required to walk a significant distance to collect their man. It's like built-in exercise. Wow. The purpose of this was to impress upon the hearts of the Jewish nation the relationship between ishtadlus, the effort one exerts to make a livelihood, and parnasa, the livelihood itself. If a Jew refused to go out and collect the man, he would go hungry, and this demonstrated it's necessary to make an effort to earn one's livelihood. Yet it was equally obvious that the man did not appear through any human endeavor. It was lechem min hashamayim, bread from heaven. No one could claim that his effort had brought the man to earth. The relationship between ishtadlus and parnasa was to remain the same even after the man ceased to fall. And we have to recognize that. We have to do our ishtadlus to plow, to work, and at the same time to realize that the only source of sustenance is coming from Hashem. And really, no matter what we do, it's not what we do that brings the sustenance, it's the fact that we are doing. And oftentimes our sustenance is going to come from a completely different area that we never expected, that we never even dreamed of. Right? I just had this recently. I just got a check in the mail for $1,000. And when I called up the institution that sent it to me, I said, you know, like you're giving out free money, what's chat? And they said, a number of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I had worked for them. They had paid me $1,000, and apparently their bookkeeping, trust me, is much better than mine because we have no bookkeeping, is I never deposited it. So now when they're going through their old bookkeeping, they're paying me the money. So obviously I didn't need the money then. I needed it now. Of course, Baruch Hu gives it to you. But you're ishtadlus. You have to go to work, but you don't know when and how that money is going to come. And this says the Sefer Befi Yisharim in 17, Vizeh HaDavar, this is the thing, which we ask, like, duh, why does it mention it? Zeh HaDavar is Inyan HaBitachon Bo Yisbarachu Yisod Chayutenu. Zeh HaDavar, you point to something. What are we pointing to? What are we emphasizing? Zeh HaDavar is the Bitachon. Zeh HaDavar is the fact that we are completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Kodim L'mitzvot Ve'eno Talui Bahem V'chol Echam Yisrael Basher Hu Shesam Yiftacho Bashem Elokav V'chol Shirakesh Be'emet B'tom L'vavo Taneh Bakashato. Zeh HaDavar, this is the fundamental aspect. Whatever you put your belief in, when you really turn to the Ribono Shel Olam, when you recognize that you're completely dependent on Him, V'aboteach B'Hashem Chesed Yisavenu, when you rely on Hashem, you will be surrounded by Chesed. And the pasuk begins, Rabim Machovim L'Rasha, many are the pains of a Rasha. Even if you're a Rasha, those who trust in Hashem, those who realize that the only resource we have, the only source we have, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. And here the Gra and Evan Shleimut said something very, very intense. Umi shelibo tov b'midat habitachon. If a person is strong in this aspect of bitachon, recognizing Hashem is the one sustaining. Even if, lo aleinu, they transgress many terrible sins, hu yoter tov, they are better than one who doesn't have bitachon, because that's going to lead you to kinan sina, hatred and jealousy. Even though one is learning Torah and involved in milus chesed, but you're really only doing it for your own sake and not for the sake of Hashem. The Yisod Ha'uma Liyot Botchim Bo Yitbarach Kigmul Alei Imo. The goal is, just like a nursing child relies completely on the mother, right? They're not worried, well, where's my next meal going to come from? After they finish eating, they're very satisfied. They're not worried. We have to have that same element of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the message of the man. Zeh HaDavar. This is the thing that the man is teaching us. And that was the Simseret HaMan. You could point to it. In all generations, know that relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will take care of you. Just like He took care of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar for 40 years. Zeh HaDavar. Rav Aaron Kalu's Atzal Mishnas Rav Aaron develops this even further. And he says, Hinei Parshat Haman Yisod Limud HaBitachon L'Doros. The learning of the man is really teaching us about faith for all generations. L'man Odiacha Kilo Olalechem Avdo Yechi Adam Kel Kol Motzah Pei Hashem. We don't live by bread alone, we live by the Word of God. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides for us. And that is what the Tzimtzenet Haman was about. L'man Yedu V'yu Yeru v'yedu hadorot in the arrow, in order for the future generations to know. V'yumadu gidrei hashgacha pratit me'etzem yiridas haman, to feel that hashgacha pratit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to every single person. This is where it's from. Yesod hashpa milamala. Hashem is the one who gives from above. And the hakara and the dacha mekabel mushkach b'chol rega v'rega. Bitachon is about recognizing that every single thing that happens in my life is directed from above. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating every single thing that happens in my life. From the past, Halukim Royalty Mo'odi. From the beginning of my time until where I'm at, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's leading me. And this is what we have to understand. Ulafin Sam, Source 20. Nimsa deze shechaser lo midat habitachon v'akara shekol ba miyado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't have this yisod, you think, you know, I work, I make money, I plant, I have food, I cause and effect. If one is really thinks that they're the ones in charge, v'zechaser lo yisod v'derech hashpa shenikba v'teva briya. What you're doing is blocking that ability to bring down Hashem, to bring down a sustenance on this person. You know what bitachon does? It connects you. It connects those pipes together. It allows you to clearly see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's investing in you, and then you can connect to him. You know, it reminds me, it might be a very poor imagery, that when our sink gets, one of our sinks gets clogged up at home, so I just pull apart the pipes, and I take out whatever's blocking it, and I put it back together, and the sink works. So recently I tried that in my daughter's apartment. Her sink was clogged. I said, no problem, you don't need to call a plumber. Who has 200 shekels to spend? I went, I unclogged it, and unscrewed it, and her sink was clogged up. Water started coming down, and I tried to put it back, and it wouldn't connect again. The pieces didn't match. We had a flood all over our kitchen. Yes, she called a plumber. I knew my limitations. And it was such a lesson for me that when the pieces connect, so then the water goes flows smoothly. There's no problem. But when the pieces don't connect and you can't screw them back in, so when there's no connection, then there's no way for the flow to happen, and instead it's going to go all over the place, and it's not going to go where you need it to go and how you want it to go. And I think that's the imagery for our lives. Is it a smooth connection from above that we become the conduit to receive Hashem's blessing, or we're not going to be screwed in the correct way, and it's going to be just going all over the place, and we don't have the ability to be able to receive from above. We don't have the ability, as I told her, till the plumber came, which was 5 days later, she couldn't use her sink. Wow. No, I didn't offer her my sink. Thanks for asking. 21. The Rav Chaskel Levenstein, who was known in 21 for being, it was okay, she has three things. Power of milchik and flay shechtos with just a milchik sink. I'm not worried about her. But to have a power of sink is in an Eretz Yisrael apartment is already a mashahu. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, Rav Chaskel Levenstein, who is the paradigm of Emuna, says the following. He says that the man is something that's supposed to be in front of us, but often muchashi. That's why Hashem said, take that man and put it away for safekeeping, so that we can almost imagine it in our mind's eye. Not something just happened, but something that's still with us, something that's still here, even if, albeit we don't see it. Why? Because the man is really the paradigm of what it means to be supported by Hashem. First of all, he says, at the end of 21, we say the pasuk, Poseach et yadecho maspia l'chol chai ratzon. Open up your hand and Hashem gives everyone chai ratzon according to their desires. One of the things that the man did is whatever a person wanted, that's what they got. Right? Lo chasarta davar. You weren't lacking anything. Double squiggly. What is the davar? Chazal say, whatever davar, whatever type of food you were yearning for, whether you articulated it or just thought it, that's what the man tasted like. Hashem is so close. He hears our requests. He's so attuned to what each and every one of us needs. The man taught us how specific Hashgacha Pratit there is for each and every person. Further, we know, and this is probably the most classic part of the man, is that Hamarbe lo hedif hamamit lo ichzir in the asterisks of 22. A person who went out for that 12-kilometer walk, and they said, you know what, I'm really hungry today. I'm just going to take on a lot more. When they came home, they had exactly what they needed. And if somebody said, I'm tired, I can't get so much, when he came home, he also had exactly what he needed. The message of the man is the message of us and Bitachon. Hashem is providing that the amount of money that we're supposed to make at the year is decided from one Rosh Hashanah to another, with the exception of the Hotzahs for Shabbos, for Yantav, and that's something you should say. When you buy something, you should say, L'chvot Shabbos Kodesh. It doesn't go on your same Visa account, right? It's the God's Visa account. It's, you know, much easier to handle. It's not part of the right, Hotzahs for Limud Torah, v'chule. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. So a person says, okay, you know what, I'm going to work more and I'm going to make more money. What happens when you make more money? You're calling the plumber, it's going down the drain. You don't know where it's going to go. And in the end, you land up with exactly what you're supposed to have. Yes, and obviously once the balance will be established and bitachon is a shear we are not dealing with today. But what we're clearly seeing is that every person, based on where they're at in their continuum of their level of emunah and bitachon, they have to do establish in whatever work they're doing. And at the same time, recognize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is providing for us. The fact that the man didn't fall on Shabbos, which teaches you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was intimately involved in every aspect of the life, and Shabbos and Makor HaBracha. Which leads us to a very famous Gemara in Yuma 24, where the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, asked him, how come the man didn't fall once a year? Just take it home, and you know, you have your, people with big houses, they have their cabinets downstairs where they just keep things for the entire year, till Pesach, then they restock. So they would restock. They would have everything they needed. To which the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai answered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see his children every single day. If he would give it to them once a year, so then he would only see them once a year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see Klal Yisrael every single day, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the man full every single day. And obviously the corollary for us is that when we pnei zeh sivah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, double squiggly in 24, lamod b'tfilah gimel pamim bayom, we daven three times a day so that we will feel all the time that we need to ask from Hashem every single day. The Vizos HaTorah of Schlesinger takes this one step further, and he says something very powerful. He says, you know, let's take a look at this fellow in the man. Let's say he had five children, and he goes to sleep at night. And his kids say to him, Abba, what are we going to eat tomorrow? And he says, I'm hoping the man is going to fall. Even though it fell for 40 years, there was no guarantee it was going to fall the next day. And you saw that. Those who were tzaddikim and fell closer to their house. Those who weren't had to go farther out. There was a tremendous amount of hashgacha prati. The father had to teach his children, you know what? We have to have bitachon in Hashem that if the man is going to come tomorrow. And we have to be tochon in Hashem that He's going to provide for us and take care of us. Lo hayta lahem in the asterisk in 25, shum tudat bat bituach l'shava. They had no life insurance policy. They had no food in their cabinet. Ha'oveh ha'varot hayat savur b'tzivei siman shela. You know, that rosy-colored picture of living in the desert and Hashem taking care of them had an aspect to it which was a big question mark. Ulam zo b'diyuk hayta matarav, zo b'diyuk hayta nisayon. It's not just that Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to turn to Him every single day to visit Him. It's much deeper. It's about reliance on Hashem every single day. Mayulad yom, what will be tomorrow? We don't know. This was, the man was a Beit Sefer, Lamuno Bitachon. That's what it was here for, to teach us that you have to rely completely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the lesson of the man for us as well. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. This is one of the things we've seen with COVID. That we don't know, Mayulad Yom, person's feeling fine in less than a week. They're in the hospital. We don't know. We have no guarantees. And he says here so clearly. He says, a person who has a maskora kvua, has a salary that comes every month, right? The first of the month, the 10th of the month. This is the person, kashelo yoter lagil bitachon, has a harder time reaching bitachon. Because the vados hazu mekukele, that knowing for sure it's going to come, takes away a little bit of that reliance. I'm not so worried because I know on the 10th of every month, the money's going to be put in my bank. There's something about working for yourself that you really realize that you're working for the Ribbono Shel Olam and that you're in His hands. One of the messages of the man, the Tzimtzemet HaMan, being there right in front of our eyes, is to remind us, yes, the Arab Bitachon Netrif rely on Hashem, that Hashem takes care of each and every person, that even if you work harder, you're not going to make any more money, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tailor-mating every single person where they're at, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Shabbos, which is Mekor HaBracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the man to fall every single day to be completely reliant on Hashem. All of this has to be in front of us when we think about the Tzimtzenet Haman, how completely dependent we are on Hashem. And there's a very fascinating 26 for Rabbeinu B'chaya that's not very well known. He says, this is really the theme of Parsha B'shalach. This is really what the school of Emunah is about. And Hashem taught this to Klal Yisrael in many different ways. And one of the ways He taught this to Klal Yisrael was Kriyas Yamsa. The imagery that we have growing up is Klal Yisrael get to Yam Suf, right? Stormy seas. Nachshon Ben Aminadab jumps in. The sea splits, and the Jewish people placidly walk through. The way the Rabbeinu B'chaya describes it is that it only split right in front of where they were. Not that the entire sea split and they saw to the other side. Really, it was a horseshoe. No. The waters were still raging. They took a step forward, it split. They took another step forward, it split. At every moment, they were under the impression of, will it continue to split or not? That is Hashtalmos Midas HaBitachon. That's what it was necessary in order to get to Kabbalah Satara and Har Sinai. We don't know. And it's interesting, the Omosha brings down one of the reasons, perhaps, in 28, I forgot who he quotes. One of the reasons why we don't have the man today. Like, wouldn't it be great to have the man today? He says, we don't need it. Because the man is about complete dependency on Hashem. He says, anyone who lives in Golos, and we all live in Golos, we know what it means to be completely dependent on Hashem. We know that you can never know, Mayu Ladyom, what's going to happen in any single day. And that's the bottom line. And with this level, my friends, we can appreciate that it, as Ruch Eliyahu, quoting the Ramban in Source 30, says, that this is the man, it's a Nes Nigla, to learn about the Nes Nistar. The man, which was clearly from Hashem's hands, is to teach you and me that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. And we have to realize that, and that, says the Yosnaim L'Torah in Source number 27, is why they collected the man immediately. For Klal Yisrael to see every single day, would that man turn into worms or not? They never knew. Watching the man every day was, again, watching, is Hashem really going to make sure this is going to be a mishmeret? They didn't know. It's that question mark. It's that reliance on Hashem which makes our lives so difficult and at the same time so beautiful. Now we can appreciate on the second level, which the second level is that the man was by the Aron, because that's the place of Torah, and we have to have the mindset of Torah, the hashkofa of Torah, when we work with our parnasa, man being the food. And what's the hashkofa of Torah with our parnasa? Hashkofa of the parnasa with our Torah is bitachon. Is that we have to rely on Hashem with ishtadlus, knowing that if I take more or less, I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. Knowing that He gives every person exactly what they need. Knowing that every single moment we're dependent on Hashem. We daven three times a day. And three times a day we say, Barech Aleinu et Hashana Hazot, Hashem blessed this year. Three times a day we ask for parnasa, because we're completely relying on Hashem at every single moment. So why dafka Aaron HaKohen? So listen to this Torah Semes, Rabbi Leibel Eger. Oh, my friends, listen to this. Absolutely gorgeous. L'dekde tevat simsenet. Pasuk says, kach simsenet achad v'ten shama meloha omer. A simsenet is that jug, is that flask. So, as Rabbi Leibel Eger, she'en lo dimayom b'mikra, we don't have this word simsenet anywhere else in the Chumash. What does simsenet mean? So a lot of people say it comes from the word sinon, which is sharp. It's something that can protect something from the elements. Okay, he says the following. Yesh lomar ki hu romes l'shnei pamim son. Simsenet, it's sown and sown, right? The aleph being silent, dropping out. Va'atem soni sown mariti. Based on the pasuk, you are my flock, the flock that I pasture. Wow. Ki inyan parasha zot, hi laharot ulalameh dadet b'nei Yisrael tzav kol hadoros. What this parasha is about is to teach us to the end of time, shiyasimu sfaram v'tikvatam ach b'Hashem, to only rely on Hashem. and not to rely on any Sibat Gashmit, any physical aspect. Rak b'sibat kol ha-sibot, only Hashem ha-mashpia chayim u-mazon. And this is the idea of L'mano di'achaki lo l'lechel mado yichya adam, k'al kol motzapi yichya adam. Only that which comes from Hashem's mouth will a person live. Motzapi is lahamsi shukat b'nei Yisrael ha-nikrapi Hashem. That we should have the desire to connect to Hashem, the makor ha-mashpia, the source of the one who gives us. Do you know what it's in Senate that imagery is about? So niv, it's so mariti. It's about Hashem roi. Lo echzar, Hashem is my shepherd, I will not lack. Hashem, 31b, Ki Hashem yiparach ro'am u'manigam, Hashem is our leader, and they should place only their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the idea of why we ask, does it say Kasher Tziva Hashem, and then He did it? Kasher Tziva Hashem is telling you that Hashem is the one who commanded, let it stand. There is a special command of Hashem, the Motzapi Hashem, that allows it to exist. That is what Aaron HaKohen is tapping into. Aaron is tapping into, as Hashem had commanded Moshe, that command that this man is going to stay, that aspect is what Aaron placed before the Ark of Testimony as a safekeeping. Not just the man, the word of Hashem is what he's placing into the Ark of the Testimony, which is saying, Asher akol talui b'maro yitbarach lashpil litkayem in 31c, that we recognize we are completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything we have. And that's why Aaron HaKohen is the one who's doing it. Shehu shuf shunaya dematronusa. He is like the friend, kivyachol, of the king. What was Aaron HaKohen's job? He was the one that brought the people closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. And this, k'yadua hama'orer, he was the one who sparked the tshukas b'nei Yisrael avinu b'shma shamayim. He brought us closer. That's the point of the Tzimtzum Haman. It's not just that we should look at it and remember bitachon. It's much deeper than that. The Tzimtzum itself should resonate in our head. We are tzoniv, it's so meriti. We are the flock of Hashem. Hashem roi lo echzar, I will not lack. Hashem is taking care of me. That was Aaron HaKohen's job, to bring the people closer to this. And that's why he says at the end in D, and continuing in Source 32, that this is true of, when Chazal say that a mezonos of a person, the sustenance of a person, and shiduchim are kashek a kriyas yamsu. Not that it's difficult as kriyas yamsu. It is as dependent on this nekuda of emunah as kriyas yamsu was. The more a person connects, the more a person gives themselves over to the ribono shel olam, Hashem roi lo echzar, the more a person feels that they are the tzoniv, the tzon mariti, the tzimtzenet, that they are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands, to that extent they are going to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua. Just to share a quick story, it's a pretty famous story, and then we'll end with the final level. Harbei Shluchim L'Makom, Hashem provides. It's about being able to really understand this level of bitachon, this reliance on Hashem. Once a fellow made a shidduch, needed $30,000, I'm telling the short end of the story, to marry off his child. He didn't have $30,000. So his wife was close to Rav Yoshiv's wife, and was telling her this. So she said, go have your husband ask my husband what to do. So Rav Yoshiv says, you just can't sit back, you have to reshtadlus. There's a yeshiva across the street. Ask them for a donor's name, and write him a letter asking him for money. He went across the street, got a donor's name, wrote him a letter, asking him for $30,000. Meanwhile, there's another fellow at the other end of the ocean who did not have children for many years and was blessed finally with a little girl. At the age of 5, she was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors had almost given up hope, and then they found some treatment. And this fellow, the father, went to Eretz Yisrael, davened at the Kotel, and said, Hashem, you know, I'm making a blue neder promise that if my daughter has refuah shlema, I will pay for a kala's wedding in Eretz Yisrael. Daughter went through the treatments. The day that they get two letters in their mailboxes, this, you know, story dates itself, mailboxes, some of you may remember what they are. They open the first letter, it's from the hospital to say that Baruch Hashem, they think the treatments worked. The second letter was from this younger light who asked for $30,000, and he wrote himself, he wrote the guy a check for $30,000. He kept his promise. When they looked into it, they found out that he wasn't one of the major donors. In the past, he'd only given the yeshiva $10. It's not about that. Harbei shluchim l'makom. Hashem is the one who orchestrates everything. There has to be some level of understanding that we think we're in control. We think we're in charge. Let go. We're like sheep. Sheep in the hands of the shepherd. And that has to be the tzitzenet, the mantra for us on the second level. On the third level, what is the tzitzenet haman about? This was in order to remind us, if the Jagaman, Rav Sternbach Shlita, was to serve as a reminder for the future generations, why was it kept in the Kodesh Kodashim? This was in order to remind us of Hashem's great kindness to us in the wilderness. The man was so holy, it should not have been given to human beings, but rather, it's like the food of angels, been kept exclusively in the holiest place, the Kodesh Kodashim. In His great mercy, Hashem sent us man a continuous basis from heaven to sustain us and allowed us to attain great spiritual levels. Alternatively, some people think that Jews' parnasha is not so important in Hashem's eyes. But in truth, Chazal tells us that a person's sustenance is as difficult, miraculous, says the Rashbam, as Kriyas Yamsuf. Clearly, then, Hashem is concerned with Jews' parnasha as He is with His ruchnias. Hence, it says, deposit before Hashem to be preserved for your generations. To emphasize how important it is Hashem's eyes to make sure that a Jew has parnasha, that being a matter on par with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hence, the Avoda Ravoda, Rav Natasha Rebbe Zatzal points out, and the arrow, Tzarich Adam Lifonem B'Lashon HaBracha HaRishona, Ki Hashpa'at Haman Sher Dal Atena B'Midbar on the asterisk, Lo Paskal Olam, it didn't end when they entered Israel. Ki Devar Ruchani Nitzchihu, if we see that it was something so spiritual that it belonged by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it is something eternal, V'Ein La Hesek. The only difference is El Shekayom Midlabesha Bechinat Haman B'Lushim Sipot Shano. We see the man in a physical guise. Truth be told, there's no difference between the way Hashem supported them and us. The Tzimtzen and Aman is eternal. Hashem gives us an eternal way. Just like Hashem supported our forefathers in the Midbar, that's the way He supports us. And this is why, getting back to where I wanted to go before, one of the places to remind us of the Tzimtzen and Haman in front of our eyes is to really pay attention to the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon. Every single word is ne'ima u'mesuka, to be able to put out of your mouth. And you can get the deepest level of Amunas Hashem if you actually thought about what you were saying. Because this is the promise that Hashem is going to posecha yadecha u'masfiya l'cho chai ratzom. If we take a look for a moment, my friends, in the Sefer Birkat HaMazon v'Kavana, we know that the first bracha of Birkat HaMazon, of benching, was in fact instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu when the man first delivered to the people of Israel in the wilderness. That's what the bracha is about. That's the man. That's our parnasa. It's hainuach. It's one and the same. This is what we have to realize. And we have to be able to acknowledge and to thank and to realize, since a person's natural tendency to believe that he earns his possession through his own effort, to end of 35, and talents, ever must work to instill in his heart the belief that it's God who gives everyone what he owns. This is what Birkas HaMazon is about. 37, the Kovetz Ber Yochanan points out a number of important lessons contained in the words of the first blessing. We know Hashem's essence is far beyond our conception. Hamashpil l'Europa Shemayim V'aretz, Hashem is way up there. Despite His greatness and distance from our plane of existence, He graciously bothers to give every living creature all its needs to survive. No te lecho basar ki lom chashto. Hodu lekel shamayim ki lom chashto. We have to realize that Hashem, despite His existence in the highest realm of heaven, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so to speak, He distributes sustenance to every living creature. It's beyond our conception to even measure the superb act of kindness. Hashem constantly provides the needs of billions upon billions of creatures, from microscopic protozoa to the most giant of beasts. This is what we have to feel, that Hashem personally feeds and sustains every living being in the most perfect manner. And that's what we have to look at. Hazan et haolam kulo b'tuvo, b'chein, b'chesed, uv'rachamin, who nosein l'cho basar, who feeds the entire world through His goodness, graciously, kindly and mercifully. He gives bread to all living creatures. Do we realize this? Do we understand the fact that Hashem gives every living creature its food? That if not for His will, it would be impossible to obtain food? This is Rav Chaska Levenstein again. Anyone who does not live by these principles, far from being a believing Jew, even claims they believe that God exists, and that He created the world. On the first level, my friend, Aaron HaKohen is the representative of learning Torah. Hashem supports those who learn Torah. They're part of Legion Hashem Melech. On the second level, we have to understand that those who work for a living have to be able to understand that their job has to be connected with the values of Torah. And we have to understand the principles of Bitachon and Ishtadlus. Of course, we have to put in our effort. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us. It's not about our effort. Our effort is because there was a punishment after Chet Adam Rishon. We have to work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who provides for us. Hamarbe hamami. The more, the less. You're going to have the exact same amount. Be able to work on being able to give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sim senet haman. So niv et so mariti. Hashem roi lo echzar. He's my shepherd. I don't have to worry. Aaron HaKohen's job was to bring the people to that. The third level is that the man came, was put in the place of Kodesh HaKadoshim to remind us the man was so holy, the man was so beyond this world. Nevertheless, Hashem gave it to us as a gift. And you should know that the man continues to be given to us as a gift, albeit maybe not in the way we look at the man, but in the way that Hashem sustains us. And what is the way for us to remember as a mishmeret, as a reminder for all generations? What can we do to tap into recognizing how much Hashem loves us, how much Hashem takes care of us? Focus in on the first bracha. B'tuvo, b'chein, b'chesed, v'rachamim. The bracha of the man, the bracha of Hashem sustaining us, each and every one of us. The man was by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As holy as it is, it's still involved in my life. My friends, what happened to the man? So we know that when Yoshiyahu HaMelech, in Source 41, was Nignaz the Aron, the man was also hidden. The man is alive and well today, somewhere under the Kodesh HaKadoshim, somewhere under the Beis HaMikdash. And indeed, the Yerachem HaKadosh points out in Source 40, L'dor HaSechem, that there are three things that are going to be shown to the Jewish people when Mashiach comes. And one of them is the Simsenet Haman. Ut, my friends, we're going to see this right in front of our eyes. I want to end with the 1 minute that I have. With a Chiddush Gemara from Vayavinu Bamikra. Vayavinu Bamikra is tapping into the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's question. It seems that Moshe Rabbeinu first says, take the Tzimtzenet Haman, and then he says to Aaron, take one, you know, Omer of Man. And further, if the man was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, how did Yirmiyahu HaNavi take it out? Therefore, Vayavinu Bamikra suggests that there were two commands here. One command was that every single person take a little bit of the man and have it as a safekeeping during their entire sojourn in the desert, as well as when they come into the land, that this is something to show their children and their children's children. That was something to be shown. Then there was the one that Aaron HaKohen put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was a separate one that wasn't seen, but was found there. And he would like to suggest that this is the end. When it talks about the children of Israel at the man for 40 years, until they entered into the inhabited land, that they ate from this little bit of Simsenet Haman, that little that they saved, that is what sustained them miraculously, those last period of time before they were able to eat of the fruit of the land, the wheat of the land, and that this was something that each and every Jew had. My friends, obviously, we never heard of such a thing. We don't really, because I'll never bring down a record of such a thing. I don't think that we necessarily have to take it only on a literal level. I think what Vayavinu Bamikra is really pointing out to us is that the command is for each and every one of us, those living in the desert, and those who are their descendants, who are following the Mesorah, the transmission from their fathers. We need to see in front of us at all times this Tzimtzenet Haman. Just like we have to see that Hashem took us out of Egypt, we have to see that Hashem provides for us and takes care of us. And this is what we have to give over l'doroseichem. This is what we have to give over to the future generations. If there has to be one message that we need to give to our children, it's this message of the man. Hashem provides for us. Hashem takes care of us. We need to have bitachon. We need to have faith in Hashem. And ultimately, we are tzoni v'tzom mariti. We are Hashem's flock. And when I realize that, Hashem roi, that Hashem is my shepherd, then lo echsar, I will never want.